The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, February 2nd. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. The number to call in are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, if you're calling from the Family Islands, you can call 242-300-5720. And if you want to join us via text, you don't want anyone to hear your voice, you can always text us into 422-4796. And remember that all standard text rates apply. And that text line is powered by BTC. Today we're going to have an open line Monday because it's the beginning of the week. And all kind of drama and interesting things happen over the weekend. And at the beginning of the week, I find that people want to call in and talk about what they want to call in. So I'm giving you that option to call in and talk about what is trending, what is on your mind, what is in the headlines, and that you want us to discuss and hash out. You can do that. And of course, as usual, I have one or two things I wish to talk about, that I want to put out there, that I wish to hash out. And I'm going to put that on the table and see if you are interested in talking about that. Politics is inside the news. I'm going to hold that off a minute because I want to talk about that, but I want to have more details because this is going to fit suits to be a good and interesting election. I encourage everybody to go out and vote. Everybody go out and be registered. Also, the Epstein file seems to have been released. I only bring that up because some people would say that we had our own Epstein in the Bahamas, out life a key someplace. But nobody so far over the years has told that story, right? There were cries that a number of Bahamian young women, young girls, were victims of going to that key, right? And there are stories about people of significance, socially significant, politically significant, went to that key and enjoyed or saw, were witness to abuse of Bahamian women, right? But in the United States, American women got their day in court or get to say and express themselves, got to tell their story. But there are Bahamian victims here who still live in silence, still dealing with the emotional trauma. And there's nobody here who seems to be championing their cause or who is seeking answers to say, hey, something happened here. Something happened here dark that needs to... some light needs to be shown on, and someone needs to speak on behalf of these women and allow them to say their story and allow them to call the names of their abusers. I'm not sure if that ever is going to happen because we're a different type of country with different type of leaders, different type of men, and different type of women. But I wanted to bring that up as one of the conversations that... hopefully in the future, that someone's going to address what happened on that key. So anyway, tomorrow the FNM will list more of their candidates. Not all. They're going to string it out a little bit. Of course, a lot of pomp and pageantry. The PLP did the same. But tomorrow, the Free National Movement, will add on to their list of candidates. Election committee is going to put forward names. I'm excited about that. Yesterday, was it yesterday or the day was Saturday? Anyway, earlier, and I think that was Saturday or Friday. And forgive me that I don't know the date. The PLP completed a complete full slate of candidates. There were some surprises. There were some surprises. There were some conclusion, right? There are some bitter feelings, right? And we expect that to happen, bitter feelings. A lot of people put in some money. And let's talk about that briefly. The Progressive Liberal Party has a training module program where if you want to be considered, the key word there, just considered, to be a candidate, you need to go through this class. You pay a couple hundred dollars. I think it's about $400 or $500 you pay to be a part of this module. I think there's a module one and a module two. You don't necessarily have to want to be a politician. Sometimes just understanding the process of the party, understanding the how governance and is in general, this particular class. My professionals come in, they tell you, teach you how to campaign, teach you about the strategies, they teach about the issues, and then you get firm in their belief. They then have those persons who are interested to go and vie for the position by campaigning. And by campaigning, they spend their money. There are persons who were interested in vying for the position to just run for the party who spent tens of thousands of dollars as they canvassed whatever constituency they were interested in, right? They will go and do, with their personal money, they'll go and offer aid to the persons living in the community, offer assistance, donate monies, and like I said, to the tens of thousands of dollars. And imagine you doing that for 1 month, 2 months, 5 months, 6 months. And there have been some people from the Progressive Liberal Party who have been doing this for 6 months, spending their money, campaigning. And at the end, the selection committee decides, oh, well, we appreciate your interest, but we have decided not to go. We decided to go another way. What happens to the money that you spent, the commitment that you gave, that donation, and the campaign on behalf of the party? And then there are people who were selected in this PLP cohort recently who have yet to campaign. They have yet. I mean, there's one person who said, wherever you send me, because I ain't going no place. I ain't campaigning no place. I ain't telling no one where I'm interested in running. I haven't gone to anyone in the constituency. There are people in the party who said, wherever you send me, I'll go and campaign because I ain't spending no money. Those other people who spending money and campaigning, they don't have no clout. They'll go and spend their tens of thousands of dollars, and I would be sent anywhere, and then I would campaign when I get the nomination. There are some people, and I go into both parties, and I'm moving from the Progressive Liberal Party because I've seen it happen in the FNM also, and try to be fair as much as possible. There are people in both parties who are not card-carrying members of the party. We're not even sure if they were like legacy supporters. You know, when you have family members who are supporters, and I, you know that I'm actively in terms of being a general or supporting the cause, they come out of the woodwork from nowhere. And they were able to secure a nomination. We don't even know how the selection process goes, whether they had to pay some money. But they were able to, like checkers, jump over and get crowned king before legacy party members, people who were in the trenches, who started out from either being a torchbearer or a young liberal, part of various association, and working through the lines to get the opportunity to say, well, I am interested in running one day. And they got jumped over, and the party endorsed the newcomers, newcomers who sometime went lying to the party altogether. And I want to know, is that fair? Is that fair? I'm going to go to the caller now who's on the line. So, caller, I see you. I'm coming to you right now. In the future, I have a list of names that where I can do a type of census or a type of report card there. We can do a report card on the FNM and a report card on the PLP. And of course, when I'm doing the grades, I need to have the subjects. So it can't be if I believe the PLP is doing A, or if I did think this person did a good job as an MP or a minister. But more likely, did they do a good job at this particular thing? What grade they give, so we could be doing that. But let's go to my first caller. Guardian Radio AM, you are live. We're talking about Open Line Monday. I have a number of things I wanted to talk about, and I was throwing out. I mentioned the Epstein file that they released some names, some scandalous things, some dark things was released. I also mentioned the PLP's ratification of all of their candidates. And the FNM said tomorrow is their day to either announce all or announce some. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes. Morning, Brother Nuri. How you do?
I'm doing well, man.
Listen to me.
I see your woman of business got nominated.
Hello?
I see your woman of business got nominated. Ratified.
Yes. We see a lot of people in the parties getting nominated, not only the PLP, the FNM too. And people say, well, they were not in no constituency working or nothing. But there are a lot of them that work behind the scene. You have a person like a Robin Dawn Langs. There's not much people in the PLP that is more popular than she is. She is a person behind the scene that can go and galvanize any constituency in the Bahamas, I think. Any constituency.
Let me ask you this.
She is well known around the island. She isn't just locked in one constituency. That is why she could have gone out and say they ever sent her.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If there were other PLPs who are as popular or who has dedicated their life in terms of service, right? If they went and started campaigning and canvassing and spent their money, because part of the PLP's platform now is, if you are considering running, you go then spend your money. You start
the PLP didn't tell nobody spend their money.
You saying the PLP didn't tell Clint Watson go spend his money?
Or no.
The PLP didn't tell Sebastian Bastian to go spend his money?
No.
You saying the PLP didn't tell any of those people who came in?
I've never really been in a module, but I've been around politics, active in politics over 42 years. Active. I came as a second vice chairman of the Young Liberals. Okay? So what I understand, they're trying to get out of support, so they go out and take up that on their own. The PLP doesn't tell nobody go galvanize no people, bring no people behind you. That is what the expecting candidate or the aspirant wants to do. So in order to get people with them, they figure they got to spend some money, which I think they really have to. But you take that on your own. You that's your own bullet. I know some people who ain't spend a dollar.
You know PLPs who didn't spend a dollar?
Nominated, they carry a boogie load of people with them. So that's the way people go to campaign. That's the way people go to get support. Then some people just go around and talk and canvass and say, man, come out and support me. Yeah, you're going to maybe have to get some T-shirts because you want your group known from the other people's group. You know, you'll have like two or three groups come out and ask. So you want the people know that I would A group, I would B group, I would C group. But other than that, I don't think no parties. Tell people go spend your money.
Let me ask you this. Imagine, this PLP you're talking about because you're a PLP supporter, right?
Yeah, I am.
Imagine you were vying to be the standard bearer for the Progressive Liberal Party, right?
Yeah.
You went and spent your money because you said nobody told you to spend your money. You started campaigning, right, to get the community support. You go to the constituency chair or the constituency grouping.
Yeah.
And you convince them, say, would you like me to be your standard bearer? And they say, yes, we support you. We're going to contact the party itself and say, this is our man, this is our woman. They have convinced us.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And you do that. You go to the selection committee, and the selection committee said, even though you have the support, We go into this person who have not yet to even approach nobody inside the constituency.
I don't see that bit that happen in this term. But what I'm saying,
you didn't see that happen in this term, Kalani?
If I was the chairman of a branch, mm-hmm. and my branch decided that we gotta to support C.A. Newry, and the party comes right us back and tell us, no, we going with this person. Is me as the chairman of the branch and my branch. We then go and sit down with the leadership of the party, and we want to know why C.A. Newry didn't get the nomination, and this person, we need to know why. You just can't come in and push somebody on somebody. That don't work like that. I don't care how much people try paint that like that happen like that. That don't usually happen like that. I've never heard of that happening like that in the PLP before. That don't happen. You got to have me being a chairman. I was a chairman of a branch for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we got who we wanted. But if, let's just say, we didn't get who we wanted, they couldn't do that to me. They would have to meet with me and my branch and explain to me what's happening.
Mr. Leroy Major said he didn't even know that he was not going to run. He was preparing to run. So he's shocked that other people was campaigning. And
nah,
he was,
let's talk with somebody.
And he was the incumbent.
Somebody.
I'm just saying. He said at least someone should have approached him.
Leroy Major knew two and a half years ago, he wasn't getting no more nomination. And if he think if you think I'm telling a truth, tell him come on your station and deny it. He knew that.
I can invite
from
him.
They moving from BAIC, he knew he was going down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he knew that. And the people in Sutton Shores didn't want him. Ain't like the people wanted him.
Well, he plans to run.
The people in Sutton Shores wanted him as an incumbent member of parliament. The PLP had to give him back. The people don't want him.
He plans to run as an independent.
And if he get 10 votes, he get plenty.
He plans to be a spoiler for the PLP.
You can't spoil nothing. But if he get 10 votes, he get plenty votes.
Mm. I hear you. I appreciate
you. And remember to say the second day of February, mm-hmm. if he get 10 votes,
if he gets 10
he
votes.
Get plenty votes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that conversation just now. I'm going to make an appeal, a reason why you must vote. This election, I believe, this election is going to be the most important and significant election we have had in decades. It will define the Bahamas for the next generation and in very important ways. The reason why I'm saying that is more than likely, it's a certainty. This is Mr. Davis's last run. We know that for certain. More than likely, we're hoping that he is able to run the full 5 years. I think he'll be like almost 80, thereabouts, 77, thereabouts, when his term is up. And we're hoping that health and strength and he's have that vigor to continue it. More than likely, this would be, and he already made an announcement, Mr. Fred Mitchell, who is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, this more likely be his last bout in politics. I'm not sure if Mrs. Hannah Martin is going to stay for another 5 years after this 5 years. That's 10 years, right? But this is going to be a different PLP. Like how it's a different FNM now as they push up against each other trying to firm up their party. It's going to be a different PLP. So the number of people who are vying to get to the table. Because if you're not at a table during this election, right, wherever you stand, but if you're not at the table during this election, that means that you may not be in the circle of who makes decisions. So this is why a number of people are coming out of the woodwork and saying, man, things are going to change, and I want to be present for when things change so I can take advantage of opportunities. I have some text here that says, Cecil, let's not fool ourselves. This is going on today. Today, men with super wealth host private raunchy parties and seek out attractive young women, likely impoverished, and lure them in with promise of bundles of money they'll never make on their minimum wage job. It's called grooming. Before the women know it, they are paid for, trapped, and the fox is in the henhouse. And I know a number of women are taken advantage of, Men tend to be predators at some times, and women tend to be vulnerable at some times. And there are some women who take the situation in their own hands and said, if you're going to objectify me, I'm going to manipulate the situation, and they end up on the head. But I'm not talking about this transactional concept. I'm talking about taking advantage of young women. I'm talking about doping, drugging, women not waking up and not knowing what's happening. This is what's being, such accusations has been heralded that happening on that key. That they were drinking, they went to a social party because the good gentleman had good parties, and they wake up unclothed, or the clothes turn in and out, or out and in, and they wake up sore, the head swinging. This, some women are saying, happened in the Bahamas, in our jurisdiction, and nobody is saying, let's investigate that and find the victims or would-be victims and so they can have their say. So they can say their truth, right? In other jurisdictions, for the same gentlemen, all the way in Canada, they are trying, accusing the good gentleman. But we've never done that, even though supposedly some said that it may have happened in the Bahamas. We have another caller here. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Let me ask a question, right? You think we're realistic about our politicians? Think about it now. You made a statement saying that if this would be Fred Mitchell and Glenys on my last term running, right? You realize the man's 72 years of age?
Yeah, I know how old Mr. Mitchell is.
He can be almost 80. Mm-hmm. Evidently, this is going to be his last term running.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't even make sense to even bring it up. How long do you think these people can live here?
In St. Lucia? Was it St. Lucia?
Not everyone is Joe Biden.
No. I'm talking the former prime minister of, is it St. Lucia? He was 83, and he's running again in politics. He just got voted out. He's
God only promises 70 years. Mm-hmm. Anything after 70 is a blessing.
Yes.
How much 80-year-old politicians you know?
I guess
running around NASA right now, jumping up and down on stage, arcing the food.
Well, we definitely have 70-year-old politicians.
No, I don't know 80.
Well, I don't know 80. But 70.
Well, then, so ever that can be their last day?
Yes.
Do you think they'll spend the rest of their life in politics?
The conversation was about...
With us making noise in their ears, complaining every single day?
You are misinterpreting the conversation. The conversation is about who is going to replace them when they leave. Do you
they
know
how to replace them because they ain't training no one.
Which means they should be training people, eh?
That's no, but they part, didn't.
But that's supposed to be a part of it. That's what the conversation is. What is their responsibility and what should be happening in the Bahamas? And like things would change in the next 5 years. There's going to be a different landscape in politics, different leaders, different vision. And if you're not at the table now, you may not be a part of that. Good? I appreciate that, caller. I have some text here. It says, Mr. Nuri, I know for a fact that a religious teacher, I ain't gonna call the school name, and a talented teen used to take young girls to the key on weekends with her, along with herself. And that might be true. And you, hopefully the teen or the teacher, will be able to tell their truth in the future. Because I see you saying that secondhand. I don't know if it happened. And you saying it secondhand. And I don't know why they were going to the key. They might have gone to one of the sporting activities because a number of things and sponsorship happened there. We know we had a number of politicians. We know for a fact a number of politicians went to the key. We know that they partied at the key. You know that the gentleman was a great influencer of a political party, right? But nobody has investigated what happened at the key. But in the United States, they have all kind of testimonies and information about the Epstein file, and we have not matured enough to do the same. That is concerning, especially when it involves Bahamian women. Someone should be their guardian and say, hey, I will step forward and investigate on their behalf and make it happen. We have another caller on the line. Guardian Radio AM caller. It's an open line. We're talking about one or two things, but whatever you want to talk about, we'll entertain. Go ahead.
I do appreciate that, Mr. Nuri.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to see if I can bring up two people. Sort of consistently warns us against remaining silent in the face of evil. You know, Scripture calls believers to speak truth, expose the wrongdoing, right?
Mm.
And actively resist injustice rather than passively allowing it to grow. Now, what we see happening right around us in the region, and it happens here too, you know, silence in such moments of this sort of activity going on suggests that perhaps the political minds and those who are quiet are complicit.
Mm.
I don't know any politician, any religious leader, who has written to certain persons who are involved in these kinds of activities globally, you talk about Epstein, affiliated, and actually say, you're wrong. You know why they ain't gonna do it?
Mm.
Because the visa is being used as the mark of the beast. They can't. They don't want to lose that visa. So everybody you see walking around who call themselves leaders, write a letter to the embassy and say, forward it to Mr. T and tell him that he's wrong. They won't. All right? And that's my issue on that. So I don't really care for none of them. And here it is. How many policies have been created locally to show Bahamians how to become millionaires? We're not making millionaires. We're making slaves. We got $9 trillion that moves about in the equities market, the forex market, and no one is showing Bahamians how to tap in, how to siphon some money off that so you don't be dependent on these stupid politicians. None of them into that area. But you go to Laibiki school, those kids are learning how to trade.
Mm.
Okay? But we want to keep us dumbed down, running after illiteracies. So I don't give a 5 cents about none of them, because except for one. Crazy Thompson, he represented me in court one time ago. That's why I'm not in jail. So I love him. But the rest of them, I'll see them in somewhere else. Thanks, man.
Okay, thank you very much, Darren. I have a number of texts I want to read, and I had a phone call just now. Let's read that. It says, it just went over Uncle's head that many folks don't have the privilege of taking a hot shower on demand. My heart goes out to the less fortunate amongst us. Don't forget the statement, we got our country back. What a disgrace. This is Grace, and they're talking about that video, right? Let's see if I can read another text. This text says, Brave will be 75 years old on June 7th, 2026. Right? Let's see. This next text here says, CA, this election is different. This is a different culture running the operation. This election will be quite interesting. Anyway, it goes, it will be a surprise. Anyway, it goes, it will be a surprise. We should not be surprised. I will not be surprised if the leader of the official opposition be the next prime minister. I will not be surprised if Brave Davis can go for a second term. The muddy water, the water is muddy. This will be a low turnout of voters, trust me. Don't watch or worry how much is on the registration list. Do you believe it's going to be a low voters turnout? I think, man, we are known for having 91-92% turnout and participation. I think this election went down to about 70-ish. It's been our lowest turnout, but it's still one of the highest voters participation in the region, right? A number of people say they disenfranchised, you know, about the prospects. I believe last minute the base of each political party will come out and participate. I'm going to read this text and we go to this quick commercial break. It said, Morning CA, you see how these PLPs just turn on their members, bad mouthing, etc. The man is still in parliament. Come on, people. Interesting. Anyway, this is Guardian Radio AM. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. I think that person who texted is talking about Leroy Major. Say, so how do you talk about these? We'll be right back.
Girl, don't you just show me Bala Boy? boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bella hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's C.A. Nuri. The PLP ratifies final 13 candidates. The names that was ratified are Chester Cooper, Obi Roberts, Glennis Hannah-Martin, Robin Langs, Kino Wong, Paco Deal, Renella Knowles, Monique Pratt, Ginger Moxie, Edward Wan, Randy Roll, Kingsley Smith, and Mr. Philip Davis. All typical Bahamian names, I guess. I'm not familiar with Mr. Edward Wan. I know he had an interview. I didn't get to see the interview. I just wanted to hear his accent to confirm I know him well. I want to know his family background. Is it wrong for me to ask who his people is? I want to know who your people are? Or that's not a part of politics? Right? Everybody else, I could basically trace their lineage here and there on where they come from. Right, I could give a narrative of who they are, right? I know there was a controversy between Obi Roberts and Clint Watson regarding that seat. I think I hinted towards a conversation before. And there was also conversation about Miss Robin Lines and how she was nominated. I think I hinted towards that also. These are interesting times. But who has the conversation amongst the PLP base? Should the base be have an explanation on how things come about? Or is the final word for the election committee final? You know, with prejudice. Whatever they decide, it's that. Don't ask no questions of why. We're not consulting no constituency at all. This is who we want. This is our man. This is our woman. And your opinion does not count. Let's go to the lines. Guardian Radio AM. This is Scenery. How you doing today? You live, caller.
Morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine, thanks. Mr. Nuri, I had a nephew working for the Consul General in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Randy Roll, and he was the driver for K. Forbes Smith. Now, apparently, he was married to an American, Atlanta, so of course, he got a job at the Demon Consul. Then Randy Roll took over as Consul General in Atlanta. First thing he did was he called him in the office, said he was hired under the FNM government, and then he had to get rid of him. So, of course, he fired him and put him on the street. Okay? Shortly after the FNM had won the election, then he tried to call him back for a job, smooth it up. Now, the FNM already won the election, right? So what he did is he put my nephew on the street. Thank God that Delta Line give him a job, which now he's able to fly him and shipment around the world for only a dollar. Okay? But Randy Roll victimized my nephew and threatened him.
And I will explain that, right? Especially, and I let you explain your point only because it's your nephew, and I want to give you at least some leeway. But it's a he say, she say type concept, and usually we don't allow that type of conversation. But certain positions, especially if you're working for, like, whether appointed positions and foreign affairs, whatever it is, and you need trusted people, you tend to remove people from the old administration and replace them by your people in your administration. And when, if there's an election that happens again, the incoming party does the same thing. It's something that is part of our politics. And you shouldn't get mad unless you are pensionable, permanent and pensionable. And then you have another place that you could go and seek an audience with and say, I believe I've victimized. But usually, if you are appointed by an administration, when that administration leaves, more like you know you're going to. You brace yourself. You say, man, thanks for the opportunity. I'm mad at you all. When my party gets in power, I can try to get this job again. Some people might get vexed, but I'm not necessarily that vexed. I understand how this goes. Let's go to the next caller. Guided Radio AM, go ahead.
Hey, Neri.
How you doing?
Huh?
How are you doing?
Rachel holding on, thank God for life.
Yeah, man.
Everything cool with you?
Yeah, man, I bless Rachel.
Okay. I think that's a good question you ask. Who should have the last say? The base or the
party, the machinery.
Yeah, I think we need to maybe think about that for the future. That's something we really, each one of us, we need to think about how it should be. But it is what it is. I wanted to find out from you if you think it's possible. I don't know, maybe Mr. Strong them just be listening to the shows them. Now that woman, Miss Lyons, get her nomination, I was wondering if the lady who's come on the talk show, who's to the Guardian AM or in the afternoon,
Guardian Today.
Yeah, maybe she could take over that spot.
I could, man. Nothing wrong with lobbying. Dwight Orr's listening, like, looking down at him now. We'll see what he says.
Yeah, now that she get the nomination. And you said that Keno Wong got the nomination?
Keno Wong got the nomination. I'll call the names again for you. Because I know you're blind, and I got to help. I got to read these things. Right?
So, yeah, you too much. You caused me to remember what I wanted to say for you. It's been a long time since you and Aaron Green did the show together. What's happening?
We need to do the show. My schedule at work changed, so I'm coming in later.
Coming in later?
Yeah, I come in later.
Oh, I thought it would have been her doing something later because if she just come off after you, normally you all do, not just a mashup when you do it together, and I talk about, does it help you read, and
yeah.
you tell her what to do, and just to enjoy that.
We need to continue that, yes.
Yeah, you didn't do that for a long time.
Yes, but let me read these names to you. Edward Wann, Whann, I'm not sure.
Hold on, what that mean in?
That's his name. That's his name, Edward. He's a Conky Joe man.
Oh. What, wait, Juan? You say Juan?
Yeah, Juan.
That's Chinese?
No, man, he white. Conky Joe. He from Grand Bahama.
So you hear that last name before, eh? Because that's the first time I hear.
That's the first time I hear, too. But I didn't hear his accent, so I don't know who he is. Right?
Okay.
Randy Roll. You know who Randy Roll is?
Randy Roll. Yeah, I remember Randy.
He's a senator now. And
yeah.
He used to be working for that diplomatic thing in Georgia.
No, he did a better job, I think, with this thing what they had him doing. I thought they would have kept him there, you know, with trying to bring the cost of
living. Yeah, he's doing a good job there. I guess
yeah.
I was considering. And maybe he's on Bay Street, too. Then,
yeah.
Of course, the Kingsley Smith, you know, he just won that West End position the other day, 2 years ago.
So they give him the nomination again?
He get the nomination. Then, of course, it's Philip Davis, you know who that is.
The Prime Minister.
Yes. I'm not familiar with Paco Deal. But I know the Deal family, right?
Where you get it for?
But David, you say it on this one. I have to read that down. I'll look for that.
Deal, that's Long Island, eh?
That's a Long Island name, yeah.
Long Island?
But no, Renika Knowles, she ran last time out of Killarney against the former Prime Minister, Minnis. She's now in Long Island. Renika, the pretty bright-skinned lady. She's running in Long Island, so she has a following there. She's been campaigning there for a while, so it should be interesting if she can make any headway there. Then there's Monique Pratt. I know she's very active inside the PLP. I'm familiar with her name. And, of course, you know Ginger Moxley.
No. Where is Monique Pratt for? Where is she running for?
I have to look for that again. I just have to list the names, so I'm calling off the names. But I didn't look to see.
So who they put in Auckland and Michael?
They called that last week. And I forget the lady's name, because there's controversy down there in Auckland, too, where she came from. Because, you know, they had...
But what about the guy who say he could be the prime minister the next time and he's going to step down?
Oh, that's for... He got nominated.
That's Naughty Lutra.
He got nominated last week, too.
You get it again?
Yeah. It wasn't Lily's name. That was Salvinas.
So that's it. That's the tight end right there.
No, let me just quickly go over this. Chester Cooper.
Okay.
You know who Obi Roberts is?
Yeah. You know, that's Bradley Robertson.
Yeah, he got the nomination.
I think that's the third or fourth time he's trying to get a nomination.
He's been working for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, third time the charm. Then Glennis Hannah-Martin. Then there is... Kino Wong, you know who Kino Wong is?
But I'm happy to know Miss Martin. She continued to do it because, you know, she could have just walked away. She's still a big outstanding person, and she's still sticking with the PLP and trying to do good. She did a lot for this country when it comes down for education.
Yeah.
If you check the history, what she did in the last 5 years, I guess with the help of God, most of all, but if she couldn't do it without the permission of the Prime Minister and being the Minister of Finance, you know, dealing with the money. But that Glennis, I would have feel like, you know, since she wasn't in transport and she done do it twice, she might have been just sitting there till she get back to transport. But she make a mark there in education. So I'm happy to know she's still running. And happy for them people in her constituency. I wish we had more.
This may be her last.
On both sides, like a Glennis Hannah-Martin.
This may be her last bout, too. She's a
you think so?
She's a mature lady.
I think she would have made a good prime minister. And I wish. Anyhow.
Yeah.
I wish we had it where people step down sometime and consider, because, you know, we promised, you know, only so long we could be here on this earth. You know, and maybe we won't chill over our children too. And we won't kill ourselves just serving everybody else. Yes. But, you know, even if she don't run again after this time, I think she would have made a good one of our first woman prime minister in this country, and she care about people.
The Dubai date,
family.
The Dubai date for that finished. That ain't never happened no more. But I have a lot of the Dubai date for the best use. That finished. That ain't never happened.
That ain't gonna happen. She's the last one. Everybody nominated now.
Yeah. But let me call the last two names because the line's full and I want to get them a chance to talk. Yes, man. It's Robert Lyons and, of course, Kino Wong. Let's go to the phone calls again. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hi, good day. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Happy Groundhog Day.
Oh, that's the day. Yeah, that's mostly why it's so cold.
Well, if they come out, we can find out later today.
Yes, yes.
If it can be for 6 weeks or a couple more months.
There you go.
Yeah, but what I want to ask you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Sebastian get ratified for Charlotte?
Yes. Sebastian Bastian has been ratified for Fort Charlotte. He's going to be going up against
Travis
Robertson.
Oh, okay. And so all the FNM have already been ratified for the 41 seats now?
No, the FNM has their exercise again tomorrow, where they could be listing several more of their candidates. But I think they're going to split it. It could be a two-day event instead of a one-day event. So they can ratify some, and then they could ratify some again in that later time.
Okay, so Mr. Clint is out of the race. He's completely.
Completely out. He should still be remaining as general manager of ZNS unless he gets frustrated.
Okay, so it's a good day he resigned or something, right?
We soon find out what he does. I ain't gonna speculate.
Okay, but Ms. Lyons, last question.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Lyons, she was for another party before?
Not that I know of. She has been always active inside the Progressive Liberal Party. In fact, she ran against Fred Mitchell for chairman. She got the endorsement of Dean Pinglin, Margaret Pinglin, as she walked her into the auditorium stadium to be nominated as chairman.
And just for the public interest, that person who named one, in what constituency is going to be?
Grand Bahama. One of the five seats in Grand Bahama.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Let's quickly go to the callers there. Go ahead, caller. Call you live.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning to you.
Yes, I'm following up on the call. Mr. Miles K. LaRota, you know, he's my schoolmate from F.E. McPherson Junior High School and A.F. Adley Senior High.
Good.
Along with Michael Bendard.
Okay.
We all graduated together. And he's in charge of NNS, right?
Yes.
In his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, I heard two lawsuits was taken out against him for firing them, Mr. Sandra Duncombe Knowles and another lady.
Okay.
The earlier caller said that Randy Roll victimized his cousin in Atlanta for being a driver. Yeah. I just wanted to draw that comparison with, you know, what happened there, because, you know, thinking that persons were a part of another administration when they have a civil servant job could be considered victimization. I know Sandra Duncombe Knowles personally, and that's what I heard in that case also.
Okay.
So that's all I had to say.
Okay, then. I appreciate you coming.
Okay.
Thanks again. Let's move on to the next caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hey, how you doing, CA?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Great, man. I just wanted to throw two more points in your mix, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man.
The issue with the BPL and the pipe.
Yes.
What do you think about that? And also, there's still an ongoing situation with the nurses' union.
Yes. Okay, I'll respond to that. Go ahead. Anything else?
Yeah. No, well, I just want... Well, the pike, the BPL pike, is very confusing right now, because I think it's even filtered into the public. I've been trying to get BPL. I don't know who I should reach out to, BPL or pike, about a line, trimming and clearing, et cetera, et cetera. But I haven't gotten a response. And also, now, this thing about the nurses, you know, while I agree people should get paid for their overtime, I don't think the union is out of bond and trying to dictate how overtime is paid or when or to whom. I mean, well, if you work for it, you should get paid for it. But I think it's a tool for management to use at their discretion if and when needed overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So them striking to say that they don't agree to, being overtime being approved. I think that's far-fetched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I agree with you. I believe overtime is dictated by management in general.
Exactly, exactly. But I don't know. Maybe you have more insight on what's happening with BPL pike situation. But everybody else seems to be in the dark. Maybe you could comment on that.
I'll comment briefly on that.
The
agreement government has with pike needs to be tabled. Nobody knows what is happening. It's most unfortunate. It's a testimony to this administration. In regards to being open with the public. And the public should continue to push back and question what's happening. And the reason why there's continue to be followed is because we don't know what's happening, right? And we see machinations now happening. In fact, people having Facebook posts are frustrated with this administration on how things are going. Even in terms of the government announcing that they've taken over the Freeport Power and Light, all of that is a testimony about how BPL is being managed or how the Ministry of Energy is being managed. Let's quickly go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, how you doing, Nuri? Alan Johnson. Let me just tell your caller who spoke about the equity trading. Let him know that's an adequated methodology right now. Tokenization and other things will make the next 5,000 millionaires in the Bahamas over the next 5,000 years. But one of the other callers, and I think you interject concerning that leadership and where we go to from here. The problem is not the ageism that people talk about. It's the problem with the competency of the individuals to understand the 21st century we're in. Take, for instance, this government has talked about a digital economy. Remember when they came in about, our Grand Bahama has become the digital economy. They had Grand Bahama become the orange economy, and how they'll bring about the ocean economy, the blue economy, the green economy, those type of things, the aquamarine economy. that the one Miller spoke about, the document economy, is a unique thing to the Bahamas. But have you seen any framework for any of those, the digital economy, the knowledge economy that the Prime Minister so likely to refer to anything? None. So the problem is not the fact of their age, you know, because I consider myself in step with many of them, to recognize the new global ecosystem that we're in, where technological energy is the number one energy, is the number one thing. In 1882 was the first time electricity came to the world. 140 years later, we're still struggling on how it works, while the world for AI and other things is dependent upon it. I've talked about it for decades. So the problem is that you have to look at the current leadership and recognize that it's not that they don't want to. I put to you that they don't know how to.
Okay.
If clearly in this dispensation you have not achieved any of those things. They haven't even expanded into the economy that's growing. The hospitality, tourism, travel is growing into the multi-trillion dollars. We haven't grown except for tourists coming here on the cruise ship, where 12 million people is the same as 450,000 people coming by air. But they'll tell you, look how the 12 million people is growing.
You're spreading it thick again, Allen. You're spreading it thick again. You're campaigning.
No. I'm saying. It's not campaigning. This is fact. You can't dismiss this.
Let the FNM and the CUI do a whole bullet plan and explain.
I know. I'm speaking as a behemoth, because you know what? I'm speaking for my children, grandchildren, and the other generations of people that these people are ignoring. Mm-hmm. Someone has to scream, hey, the ship is sinking, so that they don't keep playing the music to distract us.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I appreciate you. Thank you. Let me get to the next caller there. Guy in Radio AM. See, I even hang up, I see Alan, to make sure you talk. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hold on for the talk show.
Yeah, you're on the talk show.
Oh, yeah. Hey, morning, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well.
You seem to be one of the fairest person in a long time on the talk show. You know, you're not biased. You're giving people time to express themselves. You're a real good host.
I try my best. I try to engage people.
Yeah, I really, you know, I can respect a man like you. You know, you can't tell what you are, what side of the fence you're leaning on. You're a fair person straight across the board. But let me give you this result for the upcoming general election. 26-14-1.
26-14.
PLP 26, FNM 14, and COI 1.
I can write that down, caller.
Write that down and remember that. And let me tell you something. Let me go to the hospital situation. You know, there's some controversy with the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
When the government hired NAD to run the airport, right, the International Airport in Nassau, right? Everybody's upset, but they've run it very good now. The airport being very, they're operating real good.
Yeah, efficient.
What the government need to do with these other entities is privatize them, Ministry of Works, water and sewage, even the hospital, bringing people to manage these things, because government can't run nothing.
But,
you understand me, though?
But the hospital is quasi-government. It's managed by a private entity.
You got to bring in foreigners to do these things.
Okay.
See, we're right back at the same point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not knocking behemoth at the economy, but we get too complacent. We get too relaxed on these jobs. Business is business, and everybody knows somebody. You know, you got to bring in people, the private idea, bringing people from foreign land to run these things.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? The Bahamas could run efficient, you know, but Beeman just want a government job. Everybody want a government job. Go to work when they're ready. Do what they want. Do when they're ready. And that's it. What's killing our country.
I hear you. I can have that. I have that conversation. I'm going to encourage you to call back so I can go back and forward you. We're getting towards the end of the show.
Okay, no problem, man. Thanks for accepting me, my buddy. Thank you, man.
So we're getting towards the end of the show. Let me answer this question. So, Nuri, did Lundy from Andrus got it selected? Yes, Lundy has received a nomination for South Andrus. Good morning, CA. There are so many non-Bahamians who make people believe that they are Bahamians, going around acting like they could vote. They are negatively influencing legitimate voters not to vote during this election for their jealous, frivolous reason. If your Bahamians are registered to vote, get out early and vote with no regrets, then see the nation mark you're bearing. I say get out and vote. I do agree with you, caller. Let's see if any more text here. News flash, we had an island-wide blackout one day ago. We are in serious trouble. The electrical grid is failing, and the parties who said they would fix it are disputing who is responsible for the problem not being fixed. In my opinion, Pike will be gone in a few years, and BEC will be deeper in debt with nothing resolved. Let's see if I can fit one more text. CA, he's a Chinese already pushing his Chinese agenda. This government is full of clown. What are you talking about, caller? Texter. Anyway, let me close there. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow. I'm reading these texts and just shaking my head. Some of them are funny. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.